Isaiah chapter 6 this morning. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll read the first 8 verses and like to look at this topic this morning, entitled Ready for Action, Ready for Action. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, chronologically, most likely this account in the book happened prior to the historical events that happened in chapter 1. And so we have a date issue here with specifically the year that King Uzziah died. And so this is Isaiah's call to serve the Lord, and we will see in this passage how the Lord prepared him to be ready for the action of service. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly, and cried one unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me. And at the end of verse 8, it appears that Isaiah is at last ready for action. But 7 verses precede his being ready for action. And I'd like to look at one in particular portion of this passage that God used to prepare Isaiah for his service. Lord, bless our time here together. We've heard a lot of great preaching recently, Lord, from the Empowered Youth Week, and then follow that up with some great challenging messages Sunday night and as well as yesterday in chapel. And I just pray, Lord, that this simple message might be an encouragement to those here who do desire to serve you, Lord, who are looking forward to living a life of service in whatever area that you place them. Help us, Lord, to take note of some things that you really want to bring into our lives that we need to allow into our lives prior to really being prepared to take the action that's needed in our service for you. Help us not to take a shortcut on this, and Lord, rather to let the work of preparation be thorough and complete. And Lord, we thank you for this truth that we have here today. Thank you for each student here. Ask God that you do a work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6 is the only passage in Scripture where the seraphim are identified as angels attending to God. The word seraphim means burning ones and may indicate the brightness that resulted from them being in God's presence. But also in this passage, we see their work around the live coals from off the altar. That fits their name as well, as we see in verse 6. The seraphim had a live coal in his hand. And so unique to them is this idea of burning or shining. At the start of Isaiah chapter 6, God found in Isaiah a man that was willing but not yet ready for action in God's work. I think this is the case with many Christian young people. They state their willingness to do whatever God directs. And I would be surprised if everyone in here has not done that at some time or another. Said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Now, it's true that for some people, this willingness is words only. Nothing more than lip service to bide their time until they can leave the shackles of this sold-out Christian life. Just kind of a time placement until they can do what they really want to do. But for others, this willingness is completely sincere and genuine. And I pray that's the case with most in here today. That your words of I'm willing is really from the heart. And so you're like Isaiah. You're like the Isaiah that God found at the start of Isaiah chapter 6. You're willing. But God took this willing young potential future prophet, and through the course of some things that he brought into his life, some things that he saw, he actually made him ready for action. And he actually used this obscure class of angels known as the seraphim to illustrate this to Isaiah. God made sure that we learned a very distinct feature of these seraphim. That's their wings. Look at verse 2. Above it, the throne of God, stood the seraphims, these burning, shining, angelic class of angels. Each one had six wings. These wings are important. The rest of the verse goes on to describe that two of these wings covered the face, two covered the feet, and two were used for flying. So God used the picture of these wings to show Isaiah three areas of his life that needed attention if he wanted to move from the place of being willing, not just willing, but ready for service. Number one, we see in verse 2 this statement, with twain he covered his face. We'll refer to these as the wings of reverence. Reverence. These angels reverenced God because of his holiness. Look at verse 3. And cried one unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. As New Testament believers, we have the privilege of seeing the glory of God. John 1:14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's a danger today, and there's a big danger, I think, in our Bible-believing churches even, that we lose reverence for God. Okay, a lot of present-day music is, whether deliberate or not, its end result is to bring God down to the level of man rather than vice versa, losing a true reverence of God. Isaiah is willing, but before he was ready for action, God used these angels to illustrate to Isaiah that these angels who spent all of their time in the presence of God had the highest reverence for God, and they used two of their wings to cover their faces before the holiness of God. We speak of love and the love and compassion of God, and we're right to do that. Then, that love and compassion extends down to something like this. God accepts us as we are. And that is not an untrue statement. Until it goes the next step, which is a very close step to the previous step, which is this. God accepts me and what I am and what I do. Once we cross that line, we've lost a vision. We've lost the key characteristic of God, and that is his holiness. God does accept sinners. God does not accept sin. In today's society, there is this insistence that to accept a person, we must accept their sin as well. And that has creeped into Bible-believing churches as well. Yeah, God loves us. Love one another. Love your neighbor. That's what Jesus said to do, and it's as though they pit Jesus against God. God is holy. Jesus is holy. These seraphim illustrated to Isaiah, before you go out and serve me, before you want to be my messenger in this world, you have to understand my holiness and have a reverence for my holiness. So you are going to see people that God loves. You're going to see people that God loves in their sin. And the devil and the world is going to say, love them and their sin, accept them and their sin. And a holy God says, do not accept sin. Do not put up with sin. Do not allow their sin to influence you. Have a reverence because of who I am and what I've done. Soon, if this path is followed, our God, the holy, holy, holy God, verse 3, is little more than just our acquaintance who we send a text length prayer up to a couple times a day and are assured that he hears us because he's our friend, he's our brother, he's my companion. In a lot of modern-day CCM songs, you could take the word God or Jesus out and put my boyfriend or my girlfriend in there, and it would fit just fine. We call them boyfriend Christian songs. Not a holy God. Not the God that we serve. Not the God that the seraphim that spend all their time in the presence of God treated God like. They used two of their wings to cover their faces before God out of their reverence for who he is. Our God is not a God that we shoot a quick 10, 20, 30-second prayer up to once a day as a friend we would text and think that we're somehow reverencing and worshiping God a way that pleases him. Now, praise the Lord that God is at hand. He's not afar off. And he is near to those that draw nigh to him with a humble heart. And we can pray quick, brief prayers to him. However, to lessen God to man's level and to lose reverence for God is to maybe be willing to serve him, but never really ready for the action that's required to serve God in the way that God has for us. He wanted Isaiah to see from these seraphim two wings that covered their faces out of reverence for the holiness of God. There's a great danger for a child to look at their parent as a parent when they're young, but as they grow a little bit older, to move that parent lesser down in their esteem, a little bit lesser down in their willing to obey, to the place where they get a little bit older, they just look at their parent as just a friend and equal, not someone of authority in their life, not someone to reverence. There's a seamless, I believe, transition between Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, and verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother. I think that transition is and should be seamless. Maybe verse 1 deals with younger children, okay? But the transition to honoring parents comes right on the heels of that. And so you'll be tested in your reverence for God. You'll be tested in your reverence for your parents by them proposing something or forbidding you to do something that you really think it's time for you to be doing. Often this comes up in situations when a young person's getting to know somebody else and is interested maybe in courting or dating them. Okay, that is the time. That is the time to go right back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, and hold tight to it. Hold tight to that. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. This verse, this truth will challenge you. It'll test you. It'll test me. It'll test my will. It'll test your will. Parent loves their child. Parents can assist that child does what's right. What if that child wants to do something else? The child says, my parents don't love me. That's what some people do with God. They want God to accept them as they are, right? But God has something different, something better, something more wise in our future, which requires us to reverence him and to acknowledge him and to defer to him as opposed to our own will. The seraphim showed Isaiah that before he was really ready to serve, he needed both a belief and a practice in reverencing God. Number two, in verse 2, the Bible says, with twain he covered his feet. We would call this the wings of humility. James 4:6 says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Micah 6:8 says, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Covered feet teach us that the nearer we get to God, the more we will be made aware of our own limitations and unworthiness. And so as long as my worthiness and my abilities are high in my estimation, and as long as my desire is to make sure that others recognize my abilities and my talents, as that is a thing that's prominent in my mind, my level of humility before God, as illustrated by these seraphims, is very low. We may very much appear to be ready for service when in actuality we're actually further away than others who have recognized their limitations and their unworthiness for the service of God. These seraphim that dwelt the closest to God were most aware of their unworthiness to stand before him and to move about in his service. One little molehill is pretty near the same height as another if you measure them both against the top of the Himalayas. Problem is, we got in Christian service today, this guy, well, my hill is 1.5 feet tall, and look at theirs. Theirs is only 12 inches tall. And in the background stands this massive mountain. Well, compare ourselves not one amongst another. That's pride. Compare ourselves with the Lord. Compare ourselves with Him, and we will cover our feet in humility. Lord, it is fine if no one sees what I'm doing. You see, and I'm simply privileged to be able to move about in any way in your service. There was a man, I taught the guys on the basketball team. Hey, he's a good guy, but he came here and apparently with a bad habit. This is several years ago. His bad habit that he brought here was when he made a three-pointer, he would act like he was pulling his shirt open. And I said to somebody, what is that? They're like, well, that's what so-and-so in the NBA does. That's being Superman. So I watched, and sure enough, that happened again. We call a quick little timeout, and I had a little chat with Superman and said, my friend, you do understand you're playing basketball at Fairhaven Baptist College. We don't offer a scholarship, which you also didn't get offered anywhere else. We're playing 12 games against the Sisters of the Poor and getting beat by them fairly regularly. Well, those we probably the Brothers of the Poor, but I don't know if that's like a real organization. And so, you know, and the five people that are in the stands of this away game, they're not that impressed that you just made threw a ball in a ring that's 21 feet away. So if there's anything you're not, it's Superman. But if there's anything you are going to be, is you're going to be well rested, because you're going to have a seat beside me for a little while here. I'm going to let you meditate on the fact that you probably aren't going to do that again for our team. And in his defense, he just said, bad habit. I'm sorry, and you know, he never did it again. But I find it's interesting that often those that have the least to brag about, the least to lift themselves up about, are the ones that seem to do that the most. The people that seem to isolate themselves into small groups because they're so superior to everybody else around them, and they look down on everybody else, are the ones that actually need this vision of the humbled seraphim more than anybody else. The nearer we get to God, the more keenly aware are we of our imperfection and our sins. But when the curtain of God's presence is lifted, as it was here for this willing Isaiah, self-conceit, superiority over others disappears from my mind as well as from my mouth. People aren't going to hear me and how bad they are and how supposedly good I am as compared to them. It's a molehill comparing another molehill with the Himalayas in the background. The seraphim, they spent all of their time in the presence of God, and they used two of their wings to cover their feet in humility. And God is saying to Isaiah, I know you're willing, but I want to show you what these attendants to me do. I want to show you the fact that these seraphim, they reverence my name. Isaiah, if you want to serve me, you're going to have a holy reverence for me. Number two, if you're going to serve me, Isaiah, you're going to have to be a man of humility. And number three, in verse two, the Bible says, with twain he did fly. And so these are indeed the wings of service. There are two wings there, and these wings were going to be used to serve. In fact, they were used to serve God right after this. In verse 6, the Bible says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me. Why? Of his own will? No, he was doing the work of God. What a funny job. God told this seraphim, go to the altar, get a live coal, put it in your hand, and go put it on Isaiah's lips. Strange, unusual. The seraphim, what we don't find here, is saying, that's strange. That's unusual. Why am I doing that? Can't he do it? My wings are tired. I've been doing this, you know, since the second day of creation, since I've been created. Can someone else do this job? This is boring. That's not going to get my name in anything notable. No, the seraphim apparently was directed by God to do this simple task. And because the seraphim had a reverence for God and a humility before God, even the simplest task was done without a hint of complaint, with immediate obedience. This simplest task. Sometimes simple tasks, if we're not careful, they get below us. That's for somebody else. That's not me. I'm a junior. I'm a freshman at Bible college. That's somebody else's job. One of the things that blesses me the most is when we have times where there's an opportunity for to volunteer for something or to serve, and I know that those areas are out of the sight of most people. No one's going to even notice that, and yet to have people come along with a willingness, that blesses my heart, because I just know that is what the ministry is about, whether you're in full-time service or not. That's the type of service, that's the type of work that keeps the Lord's work going. That's the type of work that Jesus demonstrated when he washed his disciples' feet. Jesus Christ washing his disciples' feet. That's what he demonstrated. And I know that is the spirit that will keep us reverent and humble before God. And it takes a reverence of God and a humility of service to say yes to the simple acts of service that God asks for us to do. Philippians 2:7, Paul said, "If I be offered upon the sacrifice in service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." The result of a reverence for God and a humility before God is obedient service. That is, doing the will of God in my daily life right now. I'm not talking about what happens after you graduate. I'm not talking about what happens when you go home for Thanksgiving. I'm talking about right now. Because there's not a person that's a believer in God that God's not called to life of service. And that service is not future. It's right now. It's a daily service. This is doing the will of God in my daily life right now. I think it's this. I think it's joining together the spirit of Mary and the service of Martha. Sometimes in that story where Mary is sitting and Martha is serving, we look and we see, wow, Jesus said, "Mary, you've chosen the better part." As though he said, "Mary, for the rest of your life, I just want you to sit here and think about me." That's not what he said. Okay? You've chosen the better part. Or maybe we could look at it like this. You've chosen the foundation. To have service without humility and reverence, that's not going to last long. But you've chosen the better part. You've got your reverence. And you've got the humility. And now we add to that the service of Martha. I think that's something that really would make your Christian life enjoyable and happy and give it longevity. We have a far greater motivation than the seraphim to reverence God, to be humble before him and to serve him. We, as believers, have a far greater motivation. What is that? We've been redeemed. They have not. They don't know the blessings of redemption. They don't know what it is like to be taken away from the slave market of sin and be purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't know what it's like to be adopted into God's family, to be regenerated, to be justified, to be sanctified. They don't know any of that. We do. Greater motivation than the seraphim to take the wings and cover our eyes in reverence, to cover our feet in humility, and to have those wings prepared for service. We have the song of redemption. These angels that spend all of their time in the closest relation to God exhibit these three characteristics. As you daily determine to walk in the presence of God, you will display these three characteristics as well. It's a surefire sign, though, that you're drifting. You're drifting. You're drifting when your reverence for God and his work is less than it was. When your superiority over those around you is high, it's a sure sign you're drifting from being ready for the service of God. It's a sure sign when our pride is high in our humility is low, we're drifting from God. We may get some attention. We may have a group of people that prop us up and make us feel good. But God in his holiness isn't looking for that person. God is looking for an Isaiah who is willing and is also willing to be taught a couple lessons. He's be willing to taught the lesson of reverence, deep reverence for God. To be willing to taught the lesson of humility. To be able to be taught the lesson of willing service, though the task at hand may seem utterly insignificant. Look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. After Isaiah had this vision of the seraphim and their six wings, notice his statement. First words out of his mouth, woe is me, I am undone. In other words, he said this, I don't have it all together after all. Now, all of us want to have it all together, right? We want to kind of at least seem like we've got it all together. Before Isaiah was ready to really serve God, he said, man, I am undone. I've seen God. I've seen the reverence that the seraphim have for him. I've seen the humility that they have for him. I've seen the service that they render to him. God used this simple vision of these angels in their service to God to take Isaiah and say, I'm undone, which opened the door for God to do what? Come and take that coal off the altar and to say, your iniquity's taken away. Why? Because you've seen it. You've been honest with yourself. You've confessed it. And now I am forgiving it. And I've got a question. Who's going to go do this service? And now Isaiah, reverent before God, humbled before God, willing to serve before God, here's the question differently than you heard it before. Before, when Isaiah heard this question, who's going to go do this work for me? He wasn't ready to hear it. Maybe his reverence for God was low. Maybe he wasn't that humble. Maybe he was turned off by little insignificant unseen acts of service, but not now. Now when he hears the question, who's going to go do this work? Look at verse 8, the end of the verse. Here am I, send me. Ready for action. Reverent, humble, willing to serve, ready for action. Let's stand at our seat with heads bowed and eyes closed. Simple message today. Learning from an object lesson, really, from an obscure group of people in the Bible, these seraphim. And they demonstrated, because of their presence before God, true reverence of his holiness. Holy, 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 they said. They demonstrated humility, not lifting themselves up, not looking down on others, not comparing themselves with others. Humble. Thirdly, when the little, simple, insignificant, no one's going to see me acts of service were needed, they did it and did it willingly. And God says, now you're ready to serve. How about you? Are you ready to serve? How's your reverence before God? Are you treating him a little too flippantly? Is your prayer to God pretty shallow? Is your time with him diminishing? How about your humility? Do you have a problem with the superiority complex, looking down on others, wanting to make yourself to look better than what you really are? And how about these insignificant acts of service? Willing to do those? If so, you're ready for service. Lord's dealt in your heart in some way, I'm going to pray. Then the piano's going to play. Time at the altar here to respond. Heavenly Father, thank you for a man like Isaiah, who you took from being willing to being ready for service. And Lord, I'm certain that someone here maybe have let their reverence for you slip. They've just started to accept sin into their life and to excuse it away. Lord, maybe some have let some pride creep in. Begin to look down on others and use their mouth to express that. Lord, I pray that you would bring them low before you. And God, when we're faced with these unseen acts of service, help that to be a test for us to see how we respond. Use this simple message in hearts here today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As the instrument plays, the Lord's dealt in your heart, the altar is open.